And of course, God is loving and caring and patient and kind, and we all know that. But today, I just want to look at one aspect of God which sometimes we don't realize how awesome and how fearsome He really is. So let's look at some visions of God. Visions of God. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through to 8. Isaiah 6, 1 through to 8, and see what it says here. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So Isaiah the prophet had a vision of the Lord, of God, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So he saw, he did not see the face of God, but he saw his robe. Isn't that interesting? Above him were seraphim, so those are angels, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." So here we have these angels, and they had six wings. Isn't that interesting? Six wings. I think the number six usually refers to man. So the angels are, in a certain way, they are created beings, so we are related to them in that sense. So they have six wings. Holy, holy, holy. Three times they say holy in this. So number three is quite important in the Bible. And so perhaps this could be a reference of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Lord in all capitals, L-O-R-D. That's God's personal name, YHVH, or Adonai, as we might say, Almighty, Tsevaot in Hebrew. The sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. So the pretty powerful sound in this case, and there was holy smoke. Maybe you've been to some Orthodox meetings, or you've seen at least, you know, when the priest walks around with like a thurible and he's swinging it back and forth, and there's smoke rising up. So that's, I guess it's holy smoke. Anyway, the temple was filled with smoke. Very interesting. Verse number 5. "Woe is me," I cried. "I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." So, what was the reaction of Isaiah the prophet here when he saw this amazing vision of God? The first thing that comes to his mind is, "I am toast. I am ruined. I am a dead man. I am unclean. God is so holy. And I am not." I think for us, we can all realize that when we approach the presence of God, we see our own sinfulness and how holy God is in comparison to us. Then what happens? Verse number 6. "Then one of the seraphim, one of the angels, flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. So, when we think of this vision here, God is so holy and the prophet is so sinful. And what is God's motivation towards Isaiah? What is God's desire for us today? Atonement, taking away our guilt. Isn't that amazing? How God is so merciful, even though He's so powerful and so amazing, This is like the first thing that he wants to do. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. That is amazing mercy. Then I heard a voice, the voice of the Lord, saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" So Isaiah is getting his calling here. And how does he answer? He says, "Here I am. Here I am." In Hebrew, it's hineni, hineni. I think we find this word in the Bible quite often. Hineni, here I am, send me. So Isaiah the prophet is ready to go after he has been atoned for and his guilt has been taken away. So, isn't this amazing? God is truly amazing. Isaiah did not see the face of God. I think somewhere in the Bible it says that no one can see the face of God and live. So it must be something totally amazing. But I think it does say in the Bible as well that someday when we are in God's presence, we will see him face to face and we will see him as he is. So something amazing to look forward to. Okay, that's the first vision of the awesomeness of God. Let's turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel, he was a cool guy. Ezekiel chapter 1. What happened with Ezekiel? In my 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kabar River, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Interesting how he gives the exact date here. So it's sort of like he's keeping a record of what he has seen. This is something that we can also do. You know, you can keep this kind of like a journal of your spiritual life. Whenever God does something amazing or something interesting happens in your life, you should write it down and keep a journal. And then you can go back on it and look in to see what has happened in the past. It's very encouraging. So here, on this particular day, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. On the fifth of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiachin, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest. So he was a priest and he was in Babylon. It says here that the hand of the Lord was on him. Isn't that amazing how the hand of the Lord is on him? How we pray that the hand of the Lord would also be upon us, wherever we are. I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. It's interesting how he uses the word like. I think teenagers especially like to use the word like. Like this and like that, you know, like. So here the prophet is trying to describe. He doesn't have the words to describe. So he's saying that it's like something like this that I can relate to, but he can't quite relate because this is like beyond. This is like too much to take in. Looked like four living creatures. So four living creatures. These are creatures of some kind. In appearance, their form was human, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight. Their feet were like those of a calf and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands, and all four of them had faces and wings, and the wings of one touched the wings of another, and one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. So here we have this amazing vision that he's trying to describe. Four creatures. Creatures means that they are living, created beings. So they were created beings. And there are four of them. The number four is very important in the Bible. And so here we have these four creatures with six wings each. Then he tries to describe again in verse number 10. Their faces look like this. Each of the four had the face of a human being, and on the right side, each had the face of a lion, and on the left, the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. So here we have the lion, we have the ox, and we have the eagle. They're all magnificent, powerful animals. Each had two wings spreading out upward, each wing touching that of the creature on either side, and each had two other wings covering its body. Each one went straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, without turning as they went. The appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire or like torches. Remember earlier in Isaiah, there was the burning coal. So again, here we have the burning coal. The appearance of the living creatures was like the burning coals of a fire or like torches. Torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright and lightning flashed out of it. The creature sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. So there was a lot of movement, very fast movement, lots of fire and lightning. That is just really amazing. Ezekiel must have been just like, wow, man, this is unbelievable. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with the four faces. So now we have a wheel. Very interesting. This was the appearance and the structure of the wheels. They sparkled like topaz, and all four looked alike. So there were four wheels. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intersecting a wheel. So they were intersecting each other. As they moved, they would go in any one of the four directions the creatures faced. The wheels did not change direction as the creatures went. Their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around. So these are really big wheels. They were awesome, he says. They were high and awesome. I think teenagers like the word awesome. Even I like the word awesome. So even the prophet likes the word awesome. And so there were eyes in these wheels. Have you ever seen wheels with eyes? That's pretty amazing, I know. Wow. Verse number 19. When the living creatures moved, the wheels beside them moved. And when the living creatures rose from the ground, the wheels also rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, and the wheels would rise along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. The spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. So isn't that interesting? The spirit of the creatures was in the wheels. Somehow that reminds me of us as tripartite beings. You know, we have the spirit, we have the soul, and we have the body. So they are separate, but they are one. We are one, but we are still separate in a way. So even here, the spirit was in the wheels. When the creatures moved, they also moved. When the creatures stood still, they also stood still. When the creatures rose from the ground, the wheels rose along with them. So lots of interesting movement and coordination here. Verse 22, spread out before the heads of the living creatures was what looked like something like a vault. Now, I'm not really sure what exactly is a vault. I mean, a vault is kind of like where you can put money or something, but this must be something else. Like a vault, sparkling like crystal, and awesome again. See, awesome, I like that word, awesome. Under the vault, their wings were stretched out one toward another, and each had two wings covering his body. When the creatures moved, I heard the sound of their wings, like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings. So these living creatures, the wings, they made a big sound. I mean, they wasn't just like little feeble, little flapping, you know, like when the pigeon flies, it makes kind of like a flapping sound. No, it's not like that. It was an awesome sound. It was a powerful sound, like rushing waters. So these living creatures must be really amazing. Verse 25. Then came a voice from above the vault over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. Above the vault over their heads was what looked like a throne. So now we are introduced to a throne of lapis lazuli. I'm not sure what that might be. Some kind of a stone, some kind of a jewelry, I suppose. And high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. So now we're introduced in this vision to a throne, and there's someone sitting on the throne. And now he's trying to describe what he's seeing. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. So full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him. So basically, fire all around. He's trying to, he can see that there's a throne, and he can see that there is someone sitting on the throne, and there's plenty of fire all around. Like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. So there was amazing radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. The likeness of the glory of the Lord. So again, he's trying to describe with limited words what he's seeing. What happened then? When I saw it, I fell face down. I think all of us would fall face down in this situation. And I heard the voice of one speaking. Imagine the mercy of God. He speaks to us even when he's so awesome and we are on the ground with face to the ground. I think someone has said that if you are praying to the Lord and you are flat on the floor with your face to the ground, you're not going to fall. You're not going to fall down. It's a good place to be before the Lord with your face to the ground. You cannot go wrong. You cannot be prideful in that particular position. So the prophet here, Ezekiel, he fell face down and he heard the voice of the Lord. May we all hear the voice of the Lord when we humble ourselves before God, when we really realize how awesome he is. Well, are there any other examples that we can look at? How about Daniel? Yeah, Daniel. Everybody likes Daniel. He was a great guy. Awesome man. Someone we can all learn a lot from. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7, just two verses, 9 and 10. Daniel 7, 9 through the 10. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. Ancient with a capital A, and Days with a capital D. So this is someone very important. The Ancient of Days took his seat. See, someone was sitting again on the throne. His clothing was white as snow. The hair on his head was white as wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. So again, we have fire and we have wheels and lots of blazing on these wheels. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. So now we have a river, but it's not river of water, but a river of fire. Amazing. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times, 10,000 stood before him. So, you know, this is like a huge number, probably millions and millions, because in those days they didn't count numbers like the way we do today. So 10,000 times 10,000 means like a huge number. And what happened? The court was seated and the books were opened. Books were opened. So this kind of refers to a scene of judgment. Sometimes, you know, people have this cheap attitude towards God and they say, oh, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to God and I'm going to tell him, you know, really tell him what I think. I don't think we're going to be telling anything to God because the books are going to be opened and we are going to be flat on our faces. Better to humble yourself before God now. Okay, we still have a few minutes. Daniel, chapter 10. So Daniel again, chapter 10, 4 to 12. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris. Does anyone know where is this river? I see that nodding head. Somebody knows where it is. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen. Okay, so again, we are seeing someone. A man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold around his waist. His body was like topaz. His face like lightning. His eyes like flaming torches. His arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. And his voice like the sound of a multitude. Superpower, that's for sure. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. Amazing. So I was left alone gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. Again, you notice face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed. Imagine that, the mercy and grace of God. Hand touches. You know, God is not like far away. His hand is touching. So here it is the angel, of course, who is touching, but the angel is working on behalf of God. Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Wouldn't that be amazing if an angel came to us and said, brother, sister, you know, you are highly esteemed. That would be wonderful. Consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you. Stand up. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this, I stood up, trembling. And he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Do not be afraid. I think in the Bible, many times we see this phrase, do not be afraid. It must be something important for us. We become afraid very easily, that's for sure. Since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding, to humble yourself before your God. You notice here, humble. Humble yourself before your God. Your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. So in this case, an angel came to Daniel. You know, there might be angels all around us. We just don't see them. Perhaps someday we will see. Well, we still have a few minutes here. So let's go to our final few verses here from Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Here we have again an amazing vision. This time, John. Chapter 4. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me, like a trumpet, said, "Come up here. Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." So this is very interesting. Come up here. Apparently, in the book of Revelation, after this come up here, nowhere again is the church mentioned. So many theologians believe that this is a reference to us being taken away to heaven before all the bad things from the book of Revelation happen. Once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. Again, a throne and someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow, remember the rainbow? That shone like an emerald, encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. So now we are introduced to more thrones than just one. So we have 24 thrones. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. So 24 persons with crowns of gold. Imagine being one of those 24. That would be simply amazing. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne were seven lamps blazing. Seven lamps blazing. They were not like little feeble candles, but they were like really blazing. Everything about God is mighty and powerful, have you noticed? Big noise, big fire. Loud music. I know Lydia likes loud music. These are the seven spirits of God. Seven spirits of God. I wonder what exactly that means. Seven spirits of God. Seven, of course, is a number of perfection. It is a godly number, as opposed to number six, which is the number of a man. Also, in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. A sea of glass. Have you ever seen a sea of glass? I think, you know, the sea is like water and it moves around. But this is like glass. Amazing. What else? In the center around the throne were four living creatures. Again, the same four living creatures appear. And they were covered with eyes. Remember, lots of eyes. In front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. So here again we have lion, ox, face like a man, and like an eagle. Amazing. You know, the same thing keeps repeating itself, so it must be something important. It must be something even for us today. You know, in the past, these things happened, so even today, these things will happen. Each of the four living creatures had six wings. Remember, six wings. And they were covered with eyes all around, even under their wings. Even under their wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Again, we have the three holies here. Holy, holy, holy. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay down their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." So imagine that they actually remove their crowns and they put the crowns before the throne. You know, the Bible talks about different kind of crowns that there are. And so That is also our prayer, that someday we will also receive a crown. Maybe it's a small crown, maybe big crown, lots of crowns. But we also pray that someday we could be in the presence of God and we could lay down a crown before God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And just think of the millions of crowns that there must be. It's a big pile, you know? Big pile of crowns. Awesome. Holy, holy, holy. God is so holy. So, brothers and sisters, our time has run out. So our understanding and our words are very limited. Like, awesome. God is just beyond description, and how God is so merciful to us. But God is also fearsome, and I think that sometimes we forget how awesome God is, and He is going to pass judgment. And so we need to humble ourselves before God. It's better to be lying down with your face to the ground than to think that you are somehow amazing and powerful. So humble yourself before God, and He will lift you up in due time. That's a memory verse. So let's keep that in mind. So I'm hoping that somehow we have all received another perspective of the Almighty God through these visions from the Bible. And let's keep in mind that God is awesome. So let's end our meeting in a word of prayer.